Today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1 with Allcare Pharmacy. Discover a healthcare team that's always here for you at Allcare Pharmacy, Ireland's largest community pharmacy network.
Email todaycb at rte.ie.
Ireland take on Nigeria in Brisbane later this morning in what is the last game of their Women's World Cup campaign. Two defeats to Australia and Canada stopped the Irish team progressing in their first ever major tournament, but this has not dampened spirits of the Irish fans who both live in and have travelled to Australia for today's fixture. Samantha Labreri is pitch side at the Brisbane Stadium. Samantha, there was, I think, a note of optimism to all of your reports up until now, and now there's something of an air of defiance about what's going on in Brisbane.
I'm going to try to keep it optimistic for you, Philip, today. But yeah, I mean, it's a very different scenario, and the team have just been warming up on the pitch here. I can still see them, but they were just within touch and distance of me a few minutes ago, and they look full of energy. They look very focused, but they also look significantly more relaxed here because, you know, for Ireland, you know, this doesn't really mean a lot, but it does mean a lot for the rest of the group. And you can hear that the teams are being read out here, and the stadium is filling up. This Brisbane Stadium, it has a capacity of 50,000. Kind of feels like the Aviva Stadium in terms of its layout, and most of the people seem to be in the bottom and the middle tier at the moment. 1,000 tickets have been sold for this game, so it's not a full house. But again, expected that most of the crowd Irish. Now, it's a bit trickier to figure that out from where I am because Nigeria's national colours are green and white too. So all I can see is green and white. But if you look a bit closer, there's a lot of shamrocks in there. There's a lot of green, white and orange. And again, a big Irish community here in Brisbane here to support the girls in green. Now, the match outcome, as I was saying, is meaningless in terms of Ireland's progression, but not in terms of their team pride. And it is really our only chance in this tournament to get points on the board in Group B. And, you know, I've said before that, you know, when you look back at the two games so far, two defeats is what will be recorded on paper. But anyone who watched those games knows that there was a lot more to it. And I suppose the hope here tonight is that they can take something away, some points or some progress to show what they've put in this tournament. But this match is really way more important for Nigeria. They need at least a draw or a win to guarantee their progress from Group B. In terms of the other teams, depending on how this goes and the other fixtures, there's a variety of permutations, but essentially over in Melbourne at exactly the same time that this game kicks off, Australia are playing Canada and they're essentially battling it out. So if Nigeria manage to progress from this game, they'll be fighting for that second place. Now, in team news, Lily Ag starts in place of Lucy Quinn. Heather Payne, who was pulled at the last minute of the previous game because of an injury, she starts again tonight instead of Anya O'Gorman. And otherwise, the team remains mostly the same. And Vera Powell has said that this, you know, wasn't going to be a game where she just gave everybody a go at the World Cup for chances. About five or six players who haven't had any game time. There has been some questions about whether they'll get a run out tonight. But she said, you know, in terms of pride, in terms of the importance of this tournament, she has to play those who have the most minutes. So she doesn't seem to be considering giving people who haven't had a lot of game time a chance here. So that's where it stands at the moment.
Who have you been hearing from and talking to?
Well, it was really interesting here yesterday because, you know, we thought some of the air had gone out of this, but we went down to a fan zone in Brisbane, which, you know, in all of the cities, FIFA have these official fan zones set out where people can watch the matches no matter what country they're from. And yesterday, the Irish community in Brisbane organised what was described as a takeover of the fan zone in Brisbane City with the lovely backdrop of Brisbane in the background. It happened around midday on a Sunday, and when I got there, there was a huge queue of Irish people waiting outside. I was very worried they weren't going to get in, but they did get inside. It was a gorgeous sunny morning, and what was really different was the Irish players actually came along, as did the Irish manager, to meet and greet the fans. So there was queues of people for selfies and autographs from the team, and then Katie McCabe and Vera Powell took to the stage and thanked the fans for the support they've given them, saying, you know, they've given them a real lift during this tournament and they've been the 12th player for them during this tournament. But the fans they seem equally grateful to have the team here to be part of the World Cup experience despite the way the results have gone. And they spoke about, and we've seen this in all the cities, how important these games are to the Irish and Australia. So let's hear from some of them.
My name is Brenda McKeown. I'm originally from Cork. Been in Brisbane for the last 15 years. Loving it, loving the vibe that's going on at the moment here with the team.
The fact that there's not much in this game, does that take away from the occasion?
No, we don't care. We're there to support the girls.
My name is Cian McCarthy. I'm from Dundrum. I've been living here for about 7-8 years.
What does it mean to the community here to have the team based here and also playing here?
Oh, it's everything. It's home away from home, and it's good to be part of the fanfare.
I'm Lorraine McCann. I'm from Dublin, and I've been in Australia over 30 years. We never got to have a World Cup at home. And the World Cup for me, my mum is gone now. And they used to send me parcels. Every time Ireland won, I'd get a parcel in the post. So it's very special to have it down here, a World Cup, and it's for it to be the women.
My name is Nicola Holly. I'm originally from Tralee. I've been in Brisbane 13 years now, and I am the president of the Irish Australian Support Association of Queensland. Like, there's been a huge civic pride amongst the Irish community in Brisbane, the fact that we've actually hosted the team here for the past couple of weeks. And I think especially with the international borders being closed in Australia for so long, it's like Christmas, honestly. It really is. And I think the fact that so many people came down here today is a clear demonstration of what it means to people.
There was a bit of concern that this last game, because the way the results have gone, would mean nothing really, but to the people here?
To the people here, it means the world. In a way as well, it's like a last hurrah, because you know they'll be going back to Ireland this week, so it was lovely to give them kind of a nice community send-off.
The last hurrah. And Philip, for the travelling support too, who I'm still meeting in their droves, they also feel this game is important and something to look forward to.
So I'm Angelina Walsh, and this is my husband Jeff Hawkins from Eadmore in Harmanstown, and we flew over a few weeks ago to watch the girls in the World Cup. It's amazing, it's brilliant, loved every minute of it.
They've done well, look, a little bit unlucky maybe in a couple of games, but hopefully they'll finish on a high against Nigeria, but it looks the game the other night, this could be the hardest game in the group.
Well, I'm Siobhan Fitzpatrick, I'm from Cashel in County Tipperary, and I'm here because my daughter is a massive fan of soccer, she plays with Cork City.
I'm Adele Quinn, I'm here because my daughter, Molly Lane, plays for Treaty United. The excitement on her face, she's overwhelmed, I think, by it all. Lives, breathes soccer.
It's been an excellent performance. I think we were so unlucky down in Sydney.
What about this last game? You know, there's not that much in it, but does that take away from the
occasion?
No, there isn't.
No, not really, because I think the team want a win themselves, and even to watch Katie score the other night in Perth, it was magical. So a win would just be amazing.
My name is Roisin McHugh from Galway. We're over to support the girls in green. The game is not a dead rubber. It's going to be like Nigeria need to win, and I think we are hungry for a win, and the fans want to see a great performance again from the girls.
Adrienne Parker, Camp Hoyle, New Ross, County Wexford, and I'm out here following the Irish women's soccer teams. I think the players themselves want to prove, like, they haven't played to their full potential yet, so I think that they want to win to show all of the fans and themselves that they can play at this level.
And what has it meant to you to be here for this tournament?
It's great. It's a trip of a lifetime. Just to see them, their first World Cup, the first goal, everything, it's just unreal, unbelievable.
16,600 kilometres from Dublin to Brisbane, I have just learned. What can you tell us, Samantha, about the future of Vera Powell as Ireland manager?
Yeah, the focus really has turned to that in the last couple of days or so, and that's probably because of the way the results have gone. Vera Powell's been asked several times over the course of the tournament about her future contract, but it's really come into focus in the last day or so, and she was asked again at a pre-match press conference yesterday about it. She said she couldn't talk about it or think about it because her focus is on this game, but she's made it clear on a number of occasions she wants to stay, but the FAI, they've been silent on this. And when the players are asked about it, they don't say that they want her to go, but they also don't say that they want her to stay. It's been almost a stock answer from anyone who's asked about it. So, you know, it'll be really interesting to see how that plays out in the next couple of days. And of course, there's a homecoming plan for this team in Dublin City Centre on Thursday. You would imagine that there'll be nothing changed between now and then, but it'll be interesting to see how the next, you know, couple of hours play out. But whatever that happens with the situation and in this game tonight, the legacy of what's been achieved at this World Cup is still being spoken about here and will be spoken about back home for some time to come. I met some sports coaches and a mother and daughter who both played for Ireland in the past, and they all spoke about how the FAI now needs to invest in order to build on what this team have achieved.
My name is Michelle Kane. I'm an ex-international. And as soon as they qualified, we were on that plane. This is my mum, Teresa. My mum was part of the 72 squad, Trailblazers.
What has it meant to both of you as former players to be here to watch this
it's
team?
It's absolutely fantastic. They're making history, so they deserve every support that they're getting here today. And you can just see a green here today. It's brilliant.
They keep talking about how they're standing on the shoulders of everyone who came before them. So do you take some pride in the fact that
Yes, indeed. To see them all here and see the children growing up and all the little girls and all, they've great interest in it now.
They're an inspiration. Brilliant. An inspiration for the next generation, and it's only going to get bigger and better. The FAI just have to invest, that's it.
Are you a little bit jealous watching on of all
definitely,
the attention?
Definitely jealous. I'd love to get my boots on and get out there.
But the fact that for a long time this team and the teams before that you would have played on were pretty much ignored, how does it feel now to see it come full circle?
Look, they're getting the recognition they deserve, and it's onwards and upwards from here.
My name is Jen Breen from Kerry. We flew out especially to support them. I just think the legacy of this team is going to be an entire new generation of Katie McCabe's or Denise O'Sullivan's coming up through the ranks. You have little girls that are at home now that are seeing Katie McCabe scoring a goal at the World Cup. You know, they're seeing that and they're going, I can do that now. So, you know, I think it's kind of up to maybe the FAI and different grassroots levels to just go with that now and get the girls involved. Obviously, it's really hard because Ireland is such a small country and we've so many different other sports that we play. But I think now is the time to get those girls involved, you know, make sure that their talents are nurtured and that they're looked after.
Linda Gaffney from Dublin, following the girls in green around Australia. I think the girls were very brave to stand up when they did a few years ago and ask for equal treatment and ask for the support that they deserve. And now I think it's on all of us as the Irish public to get behind them and cheer on the phenomenal performances that they have put in so far. The impact that this has had and seeing the girls getting the recognition, we're hopeful will have a ricochet and an impact on every other sport in Ireland, because we have some phenomenal female athletes and they haven't always gotten the recognition that they deserve. So it's not necessarily just about football.
My name is Lorraine Heshin. I'm from Galway originally. I teach in the inner city in Dublin. We have a few young girls who are definitely going to be on the Irish team one day. They look up to the Irish players. They're an inspiration to them. And a lot of them are from areas in Dublin. They look like them, they talk like them, and so they can relate to them. It's just brilliant for them.
Samantha Labrerie with fans in Brisbane. Coverage on 2FM from 11 o'clock onwards, also on RTE2 and RTE online as well. Best of luck in their final fixture. Still to come on this programme today, combating the actions that closed Cork Library over the weekend, an initiative to tackle student accommodation shortages and breaking all the rules on what foods should be eaten with what foods. But coming up after the break, we are continuing our An Introduction Two series.
Text 51551 today with Claire Byrne on RTE Radio 1.
Samantha, in Brisbane Stadium, nil all so far, but what is that scoreline not telling me?
Well, Philip, it's been a really exciting and enjoyable first half here. The 20,000 fans in Brisbane Stadium are certainly the loudest and most passionate I've encountered so far in this World Cup. The game started with the Nigerians having the first shot on goal, and when they were on the ball initially, they were all the things that we've heard about them. They were powerful, full of pace and extremely athletic. But in the fourth minute, Katie McCabe brightened up and we thought perhaps again another early chance, but it went wide. In the 13th minute, the Nigerians ripped through our defence, but their attempt on goal went wide. And for the next 20 minutes or so, Ireland dominated the game. They created chances, a number of them, one from a free kick in the 19th minute. And in the 21st minute, there was some first-class link-up between Katie McCabe and Denise O'Sullivan that unfortunately didn't convert into a goal. We heard very little from the Nigerians until about the 37th minute when they broke through our defence, but their attempted strike went wide. And then just before half-time, around 43 minutes, a Nigerian corner was fisted away by Courtney Brosnan, and another attack seconds later ended up in the arms of the New Jersey-born goalkeeper. Overall, the football has been much more fluid and free-flowing than any other World Cup game I've seen Ireland playing in, maybe because the pressure is off, nothing is really at stake. The interesting thing is over in Melbourne, Australia are leading Canada by 2-0. So as it stands now, with a draw here and a win for Australia, both Australia and Nigeria would progress. Unusually, there was no added time in the first half, so the whistle blew at 45 minutes. And when the pitcher on the big screen cut to Katie McCabe, she was slightly smiling as she walked off the pitch. So I think Ireland would be very satisfied with their performance so far.
Excellent. Thank you so much, Samantha. Quick look at the headlines. A 23-year-old man has pleaded guilty to murdering two men and intentionally causing harm to another in Sligo last year. And Eurozone inflation fell further in July, while most measures of underlying price growth also eased. That's all that we have time for today. The programme was produced by Tom Donnelly, researcher Emma Cawley, broadcast coordinator Jarlath Holland, and on sound, Mark Dwyer. Now, at midday, here's Louise Duffy.